Walk the Walk, The Number One Rule for Real Leaders, author Alan Dutchman. Kinds of Leadership. Leaders strive to change the ways that other people think, feel and act. Leadership is not about creating change. While many people like to see themselves as leaders, mostly they are engaging in three different pursuits that we commonly confuse with leadership. Rulership, protecting and preserving one's position of power and privilege through methods that sometimes include manipulation, deception, coercion, force, and violence. Stewardship, the responsible and intelligent management of established institutions. Good stewards might run things more efficiently and profitably than their predecessors did, but they don't try to change their cultured entrenched values and priorities. Stewardship is an admirable calling, and its practitioners have been well served for several decades by instructive authors. Lemmingship. It occurs when the heads of organisations repeat the same practices and strategies that have already brought ruinous consequences for others in their fields. Though they often get away with enriching themselves extraordinarily while they're at it. On the other hand, true leaders have only two tools at their disposal, what they say and how they act. What they say might be interesting, but how they act is always crucial. Hereinafter, we will show what happens in those unusual cases of true leaders who actually walk the walk. Showing what's really most important. The most crucial role of a leader is establishing and instilling the one or two values that will be most important for an organisation, a movement or a community. There are always a multitude of values that are well worth enshrining. The hard part is making the inevitable trade-offs between them, deciding this is more important than that. And the hardest part is showing the particular one or two things that are most important. John Rawls, a legendary political philosopher, called these first virtues, and they can also be called the rule of one or two. The alleged leaders of big companies may talk the talk with fervour, but they may communicate, and high-minded vision and a long list of uncontroversial values. They might even say that something or someone else is number one to them rather than short-term profits or the stock analysts. They might, for example, claim that customers come first or that our people come first or that we run this company for the long term. But we all see how they walk the walk and no one is fooled. Everyone knows that these CEOs practice lemmingship rather than leadership. Showing who comes first. If you put customers first, stock analysts, shareholders, executives, employees and business partners will feel overlooked, betrayed, angry or upset. They will not understand why you are not serving them. Instead of hailing you as a visionary leader, they will proclaim that you are stupid or crazy, and they will predict your downfall or they will call for your ouster. That's exactly what happened to Amazon. From the beginning, the Amazon founder, Jeff Bezos, declared his vision as creating the world's most customer-centric company. He practiced the rule of one or two and listed his virtues in that order. Customers then long-term, putting these two together, the message turns to be, we'll build a profitable, enduring company for the long run by putting customers first from the very beginning. Early on, Bezos decided to enable customers to post their own reviews of the products that Amazon was trying to sell, including negative reviews, extremely negative reviews. Many observers were befuddled by the move, and Bezos once said that Fast Company interview, I started receiving letters from well-meaning folks saying, perhaps you don't understand your business. You make money when you sell things. Why are you allowing negative reviews on your website? What's more, many of Bezos' business partners, the creators and publishers of the books, movies and music that Amazon sold, were outraged. But Bezos stuck with the move because it fit perfectly with the rule of one or two. It was good for customers since reading reviews by other customers helped them make better decisions about what to buy. It would be good for Amazon in the long run because those customers might ultimately buy more stuff from Amazon if they found from experience that the website did everything possible to be useful to them and to serve their interest. Amazon walked the walk. Now that Amazon is midway through its second decade, Bezos has proven correct. He has recruited tens of millions of extremely loyal customers. In the University of Michigan annual survey of customer satisfaction with 200 major American corporations, Amazon usually ranks at near the very top. While Bezos was gaining the appreciation and loyalty of customers, he spent many years weathering the hatred of the Wall Street stock analysts who wanted predictable profits now, not the promise of a giant, profitable, enduring company to come sometime later. By 2000, the analysts were calling for Amazon's board of directors to remove Bezos from power. They claimed that Bezos didn't have the idea to run a corporation. But indeed, Bezos was running corporation as a real leader. He was challenging the deep-rooted ways that investors thought, felt, and acted. Unlike thousands of dot-com era entrepreneurs who did nothing more than talk the talk, Jeff Bezos did walk the walk and kept walking it. Sharing struggle and risk. Sharing the struggle is vital for anyone who aspires to leadership, whether it's the CEO of a company with hundreds and thousands of employees or a frontline manager with less than a dozen people. At Southwest Airlines, for example, the supervisors has always been player coaches who have helped do the work of 10 to 12 frontline workers on their teams, from handling baggage to serving as agents at departure gates. The setup has strengthened the feelings of loyalty coming from the teammates, who appreciate the extra help when they're in a crunch. And it's made the supervisors become better coaches because they understand the work's pressures and the challenges firsthand. Every moment is an opportunity to teach, train, and lead. When you're the head of a company, organization, community, or team, everyone is always watching to see how you'll walk the walk, and so every moment is an opportunity to teach and train. The way that leaders act from moment to moment is a part of a long, slow struggle to train their people in many small but vital new habits and behaviours that add up to fundamentally different ways of doing things. It takes a great amount of reputation to change the deep-rooted patterns of how people think, feel, and act. Inspiring belief. Leadership is about creating change, so its greatest challenge comes when change seems nearly impossible. When people feel helpless about their situation appears hopeless. When you talk the talk about change, most people will react with utter disbelief unless they have hope. They will not summon forth the exceptional energy, tenacity, patience, and persistence they need to bring about fundamental change. Leaders need to inspire that belief through their actions when researching the psychology of change, you'll find can be called the four elements of belief. 1. Leaders must believe in themselves. 2. Leaders need to believe their people are capable of profound change. 3. Leaders have to inspire their people by their own actions. And 4. Leaders must get their people to believe in themselves. Leadership can be summarized in the golden rule. What is hateful to yourself, do not do to your fellow man. Ultimately, it does not depend on who you are or even what you say or how you say it, but only on what you do. Although leadership is very difficult, it can also be breathtakingly simple. It all depends on how you walk the walk.